Hi, Breuchen Chanukah, everybody. This is Yisachar Wartell, and we are up to Parshat Vayechev, and perhaps more importantly, we are up to the first night of Chanukah. So presumably all of you have lit already, even if perhaps if you're on the West Coast, if you're in Eretz Yisrael, you might be sleeping or listening to this recording later, but it is Chanukah, and we are hoping for a lot of Nisim in the flows this year, more than ever. I don't know about ever, but certainly in recent history. All right, but we are talking about the Parsha as well, and in this week's Parsha, when Yosef is telling his brothers of his first dream, he relates, V'hinei anachnu me'alumim, alumim betoch hasadeh, v'hinei kama, alumati v'gam nitzva, v'hinei tesubena, alumatechem, v'tishachavena, alumati. Don't worry, I'm going to translate. And behold, we were sheaving sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and also stood, and behold, your sheaves were surrounding and bowing down to my sheaf. This is the first dream, where basically Yosef's bundle of wheat was being bowed. The 11 brothers were also bundles of wheat, and they were bowing down to him. Now, there are a lot of intriguing messages and hidden gems in this pasuk. We're only going to get into, you know, one or two. Specifically, I want to focus on the word aluma, which is aleph lamed mem hey, which means a sheaf or a bundle. Now, the words, this also has other things with this root. Now, the root is aleph lamed mem, which are also the letters of the word elaim, which means a mute, someone who cannot speak. Now, on a basic etymological level, a bundle or sheaf is something which is bound very tightly together so that nothing can escape. In the case of a bundle, it would be, you know, you have a whole bunch of, you know, stalks of grain, and it's so tight that none of the stalks of grain can fall out. So too, a mute is someone who, in a certain sense, has his lips or his tongue bound so that no words can escape. So you see, there is a connection. But there is actually a much deeper level, even as we see it relates to Yosef and his brothers. Now, Yosef's first dream alludes to when he would be viceroy in Egypt and his brothers would bow down to him. However, when Yosef ultimately revealed himself to his brothers, when he said, Ani Yosef, the brothers were dumbfounded, right? They looked at each other in bewilderment and they could not speak. And in a sense, they were temporarily mute. Yet that's not the only instance where somebody was not able to speak, or more specifically, allowed to speak. Chazal teach that upon Yosef being sold down to Mitzrayim, the brothers made a vow that they would not speak of this matter again, either with each other, or perhaps just not speak it to their father Yaakov. And therefore, in a sense, they became mute by obligation, by their promise, by their vow. And due to the suffering that this caused their father, they had to then, mita kenegamita, experience a moment where they were not able to speak when they were before Yosef, which we will see in two parshas, in my Bar Mitzvah parsha, which is Vayigash. One other point is that much of the hatred that the brothers harbored towards Yosef began long before the dreams, when he would tell little things that they were doing to Yaakov, right? The Torah states, Yosef would bring divatam ra'ah, evil matters about them, to his father. So Yosef was also at fault for that. So all the brothers, in a sense, except for Binyamin, had some level of blame. But we're not focusing on the blame, we're focusing on what we can learn from it. Now, Yosef, even if he was doing something which was inappropriate, his motivation was likely sincere. He was trying to help. He wanted his brothers to be righteous. He wanted his father to know what was going on. But he shouldn't have told every instance to his father, but rather given his brothers more of the benefit of the doubt and been a little more selective. But of course, he was very young and naive, and you know, things happened, and obviously a lot of his b'day shemayim. Now, he should have held his tongue and kept his words mute, in a sense, right? He should have been selectively mute and not say certain things to his father. So that was also a muteness that led to much unneeded suffering. But ultimately, everything did work out according to Hashem's plan, and Yosef and the brothers ultimately did realize this. The enslavement in Egypt and the Mitzrayim was destined to occur, but it culminated in Bnei Yisrael leaving amidst open miracles. In terms of miracles, see my current dvar, which will be sent out shortly. The pinnacle of all of these miracles was at Kriyas Yamsuf, and it is now Hanukkah, so let's transition and figure out how what in the world we're talking about is related to Hanukkah. I'll give you a major props if you can pick up on it, but I will tell you so you don't have much time to think about it. But one term we often come across is, in the Hanukkah, one of the most common things we talk about is the word Maccabee, right? Maccabee, right? Mem Chaf Bet Yud, right? Which, according to most opinions, stands for Micha Mocha Be'elim Hashem. Who is like you amongst the Elim Hashem? Elim literally means powers. Amongst all powers, right? All the things that people think like a Vodazara and this power and this force, nothing is like Hashem, right? They're all effectively nothing before Hashem, right? They're Elim. But Elim also can look like Elaim, mute. What does that mean? So the Mechilta of Rabbi Yishmael gives multiple other interpretations of this word, including that of Elaim, which means mute. And the text of Mechilta writes as follows, Micha mocha be'elim Hashem, Micha mocha ba'alomim. Who is like you, Hashem, with muteness? What does he mean by that? The explanation is that it seems that at times Hashem, Lahavdil, doesn't respond to his people's suffering. He doesn't act seemingly right away to prevent some of the atrocities that have happened to the Jews over the ages or even 2 months ago, whether it's, you know, personally or on a national level. Obviously, that's not what's actually happening, but that's how it appears to us. Hashem appears to hide and not listen to our plights. Yet this lesson is part of the Shira itself. The Shira that Bnei Yisrael sang by the Yom Sef was on the highest prophetic level they could reach, and they understood things so clairvoyantly. And they sang these words, Micha mocha be'elim Hashem, at the Yom Sef. That was where those words were first uttered, right? We use them for Maccabee, but those words were first uttered by Kriyas Yom Sef when they split into the sea and they were singing the Shir Sayam and Naz Yashir. They were able to praise Hashem for everything, even when Hashem would seemingly be absent because they caught a glimpse of his mysterious but amazing ways, something which even Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't understand fully. Hashem, we know, will never forsake us and he will never abandon us, even if at times it may seem like perhaps he has. And Hashem will never truly be mute. He may seem like he's an Elaim, but other gods, other powers, whatever you want to call them, other things that people believe in, are actually Elaim. They're mute. But Hashem is never Elaim. Hashem is never mute. Hashem always cares, and Hashem is always orchestrating things behind the scenes. Now, obviously, we don't understand why he does things most of the time, and every situation is different and varies by circumstance. Most of the time is probably well beyond human logic. Wouldn't be able to contemplate it. But we have to have faith that that is the MS, that's the truth. Now, for many of us, we've suffered in some respect, some much greater than others over the last 2 months. And some, you know, even though Baruch Hashem, we've had some amazing achdus, we have a lot of people putting on tefillin and tight tzitzit and doing everything under the sun and singing. I heard people singing Animamin where they're going into battle, they're lighting menorahs, even in Gaza as we speak. It's amazing. But there are people who are wondering, where is God, right? Doesn't he see them people suffering, right? Does he even see the, these horrible things that are happening to people? But no, it's not haphazard. It's not careless. And Hashem understands what's going on as part of a plan, even if we can't contemplate it, we can't see it. And furthermore, when we suffer, Hashem suffers along with us. He doesn't want to do these things. He doesn't want to allow these things to happen. Now, we can't often contemplate his ways, but we do have the ability to put our faith, to put our emunah in him. And certainly in a time of, you know, light and joy and miracles and nisim of Hanukkah, where we can be very optimistic and we see, hopefully, things starting to turn around the right way. We can sing with all of our might. And we can sing for the good and even for the bad, even if we don't understand why things might be happening. But that is part of a greater project, if you will, a greater initiative from Hashem. There's always a light amidst the darkness. We light one candle tonight, and then we increase the light, and we increase the light until it's a full spectrum of 8, which goes well beyond 7. It goes beyond, 8 represents beyond natural. It goes beyond. The menorah in the Beit HaMikdash was 7, which represents the 7 lower spheres, but represents the physical world, and it was emanating the light of spirituality into the physical world. But on Hanukkah, we take it even a step further because we take it on an individualistic level as well. It's not just on a communal level, shining out with Beit HaMikdash for, you know, all the world. We internalize these flames, right? And therefore there's 8. 8 goes beyond 7. 8 is beyond the mastery of nature. We can override anything, right? We can trust in Hashem to override anything. And that's within our power, or it's within Hashem's power, depending on the circumstance. But it is something that is always possible. There is always the possibility of light amidst any type of darkness. And Hashem Shechina, the eternal light, is always present and shining around us. So I'm wishing you all an amazing Shabbat Shalom and a lechtaga, amazing and wonderful Chanukah Sameach.